You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hey everyone, welcome to MLB.com Extras. I'm Tim McMaster talking Rays baseball with MLB.com Rays reporter Bill Chastain. And Bill, the hot stove season is here, but let's start by just quickly looking back at 2015. We've had some time now to digest the Rays of 2015. They end up winning 80 games in a good division. It's a season in which you have to be able to, you take a lot of positives from it, don't you?
Yeah, you know, at the end of the season, I sat there and said, gee, this team won 80 games. And, you know, based on all of the, you know, pratfalls they had during the year, you know, I mean, you got your number one pitcher goes down, countless injuries, and then somehow at the end of the year you end up with 80 wins. I think there's a lot to be optimistic about.
They didn't waste any time getting busy this hot stove season as well. Already with the trade, they get Brad Miller, Logan Morrison, Danny Farquhar from the Mariners. They give up Nathan Karns, Boog Powell, and C.J. Riefenhauser. Now, I think Miller's a very interesting piece of this trade. It seems like the type of player that the Rays really, really like.
Yeah, he looks like he's somebody they can keep for a while and can, you know, and kind of build stuff on. He's an offensive guy and supposedly a sure-handed guy at shortstop. I have heard that they want to, you know, work a little bit on his consistency on some of the plays, but you know, I think it was a move for a need they have, and I think they, you know, went out pretty quick and got it done. So I like the way they kind of went out and struck.
Now, Logan Morrison's an interesting guy. When he first came up, I remember with the Marlins, a somewhat touted prospect. He's been up and down in his career. What do you think the Rays like about him that they made him a part of this deal?
Well, they're looking for any kind of extra offense, and he can, you know, he's been known to hit for pretty good power. I know when we were talking to him on the conference call after he got traded to the Rays, he was saying, you know, he hopes he's not just pigeonholed against right-handers only. You know, he said he did not hit well against left-handers this year, but he has hit well against left-handers in the past. And, you know, he sounds like it's going to be kind of a mission for him to prove again that he could be on the field against both, you know, sides of the plate.
Obviously, you have to give up something to get something, and Nathan Karns goes the other way. But it's trading from a place of strength for the Rays. All the starting pitching they have, did that make it okay to give up a guy like Karns?
Well, I think it did. You know, it was a tough move for them because this year they saw how much strain they could be in if they lost some starting pitching, and they lost some, and so they kind of got down to the fumes. But you know, the way you had Erasmo Ramirez and Karns came through, you know, it really helped them out this year. But they do, you know, they always feel like they're in a little bit of a precarious position when they're running a little bit thinner on their starting pitching depth.
They still have a good amount of starting pitching. Is there a chance they could move another starter in a deal this offseason, or do you think Karns is the one guy they were able to let go?
Well, you know, I mean, you have to give up something to get something. And, you know, I think Karns really pitched well this year. I don't know, you know, if you try and forecast what the Rays are going to do, it drives you crazy. I think anybody is always in play. Having said that, I would probably be surprised if they moved another starting pitcher.
Overall, when you look at this roster heading into this hot stove season, it's interesting, I think, when you look at this Rays team, because there's not a lot of holes to fill. They have the good pitching. They have a good young nucleus. There's not a lot of heavy lifting that has to be done in Tampa Bay this offseason. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, and, you know, I think it's mostly going to be, you know, just kind of decisions need to be made. And I don't know if those decisions will be made during the offseason or if they can hold till spring training. You know, you look at some of the depth in the outfield, you know, are they going to, will they rather have more of Brandon Guyer, or will they rather have Mikey Matuk? Will Desmond Jennings come back? You know, you look to the infield. It doesn't look like Cabrera will be back because, you know, he had a really nice season. He's a free agent. He'll probably out and get a pretty sweet deal outside of the Rays' price range, and the Rays seem to acknowledge that by getting Miller. But then you've got Nick Franklin and Beckham. Which one of those two is going to be the guy? You know, because you got Logan Forsythe at second base. Catching is the same way. You know, Rivera had a tough year offensively, and then you had Casale came through with the deep power, and Aaron Sepia came up in September and provided some power. So, I think there's some decisions that need to be made in all those things, but I do think that contained within the players they have, they've got some pretty good choices.
How does the team set up, I guess, financially this offseason? I know that they're never going to be a player for a big-name free agent or a big contract signing, but do they have some money to work with as far as filling those little holes with some free agents?
Yeah, they always manage to find a little bit. I would be surprised if their payroll exceeded where it was this year. You know, they're right at 72. We'll see how they look after, all the arbitration stuff comes in and, what they have to work with after that. But, I don't see them going out and getting anybody really, too big on the free agent market. Normally it's an extra bat or a veteran relief pitcher. So that's kind of been their MO, and I wouldn't expect them to, move too far away from that.
When you look at the Rays roster and players that other teams would be interested in this offseason, you got to look at the back end of that bullpen. You have Jake McGee, you have Brad Boxberger. I'm sure the Rays would love a situation where they have those two guys to go to late in games, but they could be tempted. Am I right? And one of those guys could end up getting traded?
Yeah, I think if they really identified a need, you might trade one of those guys. And I think the more likely of the two, between Boxberger and McGee to go would be McGee, because he will probably do fairly well arbitration-wise, and Boxberger is still not at arbitration yet. I also wouldn't be surprised to see if they did move McGee, whether any Romero could move in to become that hard-throwing lefty that, he's been. But McGee's been really good, although last year, he did have some injuries, but, he's about as good as it gets out of the bullpen. I mean, he can be overpowering.
We mentioned off the top what a positive season it really was when you look back on it, 2015. And I know you recently wrote a story on MLB.com, Rays.com, about Jake Odorizzi and his goals going into the season to improve his stamina, to go deeper into games, and the way he was able to accomplish that. If you can just sum up the kind of a year Odorizzi had, because I don't think it really comes through the numbers as much as it does when you look at the full body of work.
Well, first off, to me, the first thing I think about him is consistency. And I was very impressed with what he did in the offseason to come into this season. A couple of things he really wanted to, the main thing he really wanted to address was going deeper into games, and on top of that, he wanted to minimize the big innings. And I felt like he managed to do that. His numbers, other than wins and losses, were much improved. The wins and losses should have been better based on a lot of hard luck decisions. I'll be surprised if he doesn't come back and have some other new wrinkle this year. I think this guy is the total pro. He's very understated. I think he's a great guy to have in the rotation, and he missed 5 weeks this year because of a strained oblique. So who knows what would have happened if he'd had those 5 weeks as well. But I think he's a really solid piece in that rotation. And a lot of times I think people forget about him because he's not the sexiest of the group.
It's come out during this offseason that the Rays may be headed to Cuba in the spring to take on the Cuban national team. Commissioner Rob Manfred selected the Rays in a lottery to be the representative. Bill, what made the Rays interested in this opportunity, in this chance to go down to Cuba and play a game?
I really haven't had a chance to talk to them about that, but I mean, it's probably one of those deals where, they feel like it would be a great experience for a young club to go through. And sometimes it's kind of nice if, particularly in spring training when you're trying to come together, if you have that kind of trip, maybe it's kind of a bonding thing, but certainly, it would be a great experience for any team to go down there and see what it's like. Cuba has such a great baseball heritage, and just to see that, and I would think to be able to see the people in Cuba and their passion for the game, might be a nice thing to, take home and see how fortunate they are to be playing in the major leagues, and based on how passionate these fan fans in Cuba are and how much the game means to them.
The Rays would be the first team to play down in Cuba since the Orioles played back in 1999. One last thing to cover with you, Bill, is it's award season. It's November in Major League Baseball, and a lot of awards get dished out. And as far as the Rays go, Kevin Kiermaier gets that gold glove. I don't think there was any surprise there with the amount of crazy and unbelievable catches he made this season, and not to mention the arm that he showed off as well. You got to see him day in, day out, roaming center field for the Rays. What stood out the most to you about Kevin Kiermaier?
Well, you know, it's different when you get to watch somebody, like you say, live every day, because there's so much that you can't see on TV. I'm just struck daily how hard he plays. From when you see him arrive at the ballpark, he's getting used to all these different major league parks. So he's got familiarity with them, and you put that in, he's got this high engine that he plays with, but he's made plays that are crazy plays. I mean, I can't imagine or fathom another player in baseball who was a better fielder than him at any position. I mean, you watch him play every day, and the ground he covers, the routes he runs, the throws he makes, and how much it means to him, it's just the total package on defense.
You've been listening to Rays Extras on MLB.com. Bill, we'll talk to you again soon.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go, every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.